so like Robbie said, I'm Bobby Johns. This is my lovely wife, Shari. Thanks for letting us share what God has done in our lives, and I hope that it will encourage you. But first, a quick prayer to get us started. Father God, thank you for your grace and endless blessings that we don't deserve. Please open our eyes and our hearts to your truth. And if there is anything useful in our story, please let that come through tonight. You are mighty and filled with love and compassion for us, even when we are lost and far from you. There is no marital problem or other issue here tonight that is bigger than you, God. You love us where we are and love us enough not to leave us there. In your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
So Bobby and I were both raised, born and raised here in Texas. We've been together for 26 years now, and next week we'll be 20 years married. We have two beautiful boys, Austin, who's 16, and Wyatt, 11. And we've been coming to Watermark since 2008. Here's a picture of us on our wedding day when, you know, you think everything's going to be perfect. And
so as for my background and family, I wasn't raised on any kind of organized religion. My parents were divorced when I was 18 months old because my father was gay. I usually don't mention that up front because people often tune out for a minute when they hear that. This played out badly for me because the rest of the family was deathly afraid that I would turn out to be gay too. So even at a very young age, I was encouraged to notice women, to look at cheerleaders and so on. This was like throwing gasoline on a fire. I was already very attracted to women, and I started a lifelong addiction to pornography, starting with Playboy at the age of 8, with the encouragement of a relative thinking she was helping me. I grew up with a series of stepfathers until I was 12, and my mom's fourth husband seemed to stick. They were married for 20-plus years, and he was the first stable father figure I ever had, and he taught me about being a man. Not so much about what he said, but I watched what he did. He was a good moral man, became a Freemason, and passed away several years ago. Just about the time I hit puberty, I was trying to leave anything about God and the Bible behind. I asked questions of the Christians I knew, but no one I knew could give me what I thought were intellectually honest answers to the hard questions. How do I know the Bible is God's word? How do I know Jesus is who he says he was? How does God let bad things happen? 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. I spent most of my adult life far from God, actively running away from him. If you count abortion as murder, then I have broken all 10 of the commandments. I don't know how to give you more details about my past hedonism without it sounding like bragging. So trust me when I tell you, I was lost, completely bought into the world's lies, living in the darkness. I mocked everything Christians stood for, and I did it with great delight. Proverbs 18, 1 and 2. An unfriendly person pursues selfish ends, and against all sound judgment starts quarrels. Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions.
And I grew up in a volatile household. My father was physically abusive to my mother, and when I was 15, my mother took me and my two brothers, and we went to live in a women's shelter, where we lived there 3 weeks, hiding from him. My mother believed in the Lord and always spoke of him, but I didn't understand how God could do this to us. My mother then remarried a man who also had 3 children, and together they had one more. So all 9 of us lived together in one tiny house. And because of the divorce and the remarriage, I had to start over again at a new high school. In hindsight, God was looking after me. A sweet girl I met introduced me to others that she knew and befriended me. They all invited me to go to church with them, and I loved it. And at church camp, the summer before my senior year, I gave myself over to the Lord. And then I was baptized. I had head knowledge of what that meant. I thought if I was good and I helped people, then I was fine. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So after high school, I stopped running with these friends that I had made at church, and I went completely wild. I began drinking and experimenting with drugs, and because of my promiscuity and other poor choices, I became pregnant. I was scared, and out of fear and selfishness, I made a very conscious decision to abort that child.
I pursued a career as a technology geek, bought the latest gadgets, pursued anything that interested me, and followed my own selfish nature. I even got married and then divorced within a year. I chased women and let sex dictate my life. All the while, something was missing. I would move from one philosophy or ism to another, trying to find what was missing. I read books on psychology, comparative religion, and philosophy for pleasure. At first being excited, thinking I had found some real answer at last, only to discover that when I chased these ideas to their logical conclusion, they were just another dead-end, lame excuse for the truth. Slowly, I began to live a life closer to the straight and narrow, but never consciously trying to know or please God, just dropping the most destructive habits that I had survived long enough to realize didn't work.
I met Bobby in 1995, and we were pretty much inseparable. Only after a few months of dating, we moved in together. I didn't see anything wrong with it. At the time, all of my friends were living with their boyfriends. Bobby and I got married in the fall of 2001, and after a couple of years of marriage, we started trying to have a child. One afternoon, Bobby had to rush me to the hospital. I was having severe abdominal cramps. I didn't know I was pregnant at the time until we got to the emergency room, where I learned I was having a miscarriage. We were devastated. It was our first pregnancy, and we had lost that baby. Several months later, I found out I was pregnant again, and we were very excited about this child. But during a doctor's visit, it turned out that I had had an ectopic pregnancy with internal bleeding. It was life-threatening, and I was immediately rushed to emergency surgery. I remember after the surgery, looking at a friend who had come to visit me and asking them if this was God's way of punishing me for the abortion I had had. About a year after this, we got pregnant again. Fear dominated most of that pregnancy, but our little blessing was born, happy and healthy. We named him Austin. After the birth of our son, though, Bobby and I slowly started drifting apart, feeling like I had to control everything and make all the decisions, feeling very alone and disconnected. I remember sitting on the couch after our son had gone to bed one evening and looking at Bobby and telling him about how lonely I was feeling, even though we were in the same room.
I met my wife, Shari, and I was finally ready to get married again after much patience on Shari's part. I was madly in love with her, and with the birth of my son, after several misadventures, I began to wonder if I was capable of being a good father, not to mention a good husband or even a good man. The miscarriages and ectopic pregnancy put a deep fear into me that made me realize how little control I really had. I had almost lost Shari, and the prospect made me fearful, overprotective, and timid. Everything I learned from the various self-help and personal growth efforts over the years had taken me about as far as they could. My marriage was dying, and I couldn't figure out how to stop it. Divorce was the most likely outcome, and I was in despair. Paralyzed with fear, a classic case of failure to lead and passivity. My addiction to pornography was also taking a toll as well. I was letting the computer fantasy world steal time, energy, and affections from my wife. This only added to the downward spiral.
So at this time in our marriage, you could say that Bobby and I were more like roommates. The distance that had grown between us was pretty deep. I would spend most of my evenings in the bedroom watching TV while he was spent the evening in the living room doing the same or on his computer. I was sad. I was depressed and lonely. I started contemplating divorce and what that might look like. The world made it sound so easy and okay, that the grass was greener and that I'd be happier if I just ended the marriage and moved on. Satan was working in my heart. He would have enjoyed seeing my son grow up without his father around. My first visit to Watermark was in January of 2008, and I had come with a friend who had invited me several times. She had a son at the same age as ours, so it made it easier to come. And I was thinking, you know, it would be good for my son. The pastor was giving a message that day that was actually about marriage, and specifically about being undivorced. I had never heard that before, but I remember him saying that if you were married but not living the Lord's definition of marriage, then you were living undivorced. I felt like he was talking to me, and that somehow he knew I was showing up that morning just for me, and that sermon was somehow directed at me. But in reality, It was Jesus who knew I was walking in those doors that very day. And through the Holy Spirit, he spoke to me. I remember going home that day and telling Bobby about the sermon. He wasn't coming with me at the time. And I told him I was going to go the next week and that he could come with me if he wanted to. He didn't come again that next week, but the sermon turned out to be a series about marriage. And I remember praying that day that Bobby would come with me the next week, and he did.
I was not excited about going to church. I went hoping for a little solace and maybe a few new social contacts. I didn't have any men that I could talk to about anything except technology. To be honest, I wasn't sure the building wouldn't cave in when I walked in. The pastor was in the middle of the first Re-Engage series, and it seemed like he was talking just to me. I came for six straight weeks, and they were all about me. After 12-plus years, a couple have not been about me. What I found were people who had a love and authenticity and an energy that I had never seen in church before. They spoke of God's unfailing, unchangeable love for us all, even for me. A love so deep, he would give his only son to pay the price for my wickedness. I heard that I was forgiven and saved by grace. It took a while for me to come around to the conclusion that this might be what I had been looking for. Not knowing anything better to do, I just prayed my first feeble little prayer. God, I don't know what this is supposed to look like, but if you're there, please come into my heart and let me find out. Romans 8:26, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. At first, I didn't tell people I went to church here, not because of what they would think of me, but because of what they would think of the church. If they let that guy in, they'll let anybody in. But that's actually the truth. But I felt a need to protect my new friends from my past, but they didn't need it. They had a protector and a redeemer already. I began reading the Bible and found things that I'd never heard before. I began to cultivate a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I spoke with committed Christ followers who spoke with an authenticity I never knew from Christians before. My idea of what being a real Christian, a Christ follower, was forever changed. No one was afraid of even my toughest questions. I began to pray regularly and found a peace I had not had before. I began to see improvements in my marriage and my other relationships. I still go off in the weeds sometimes, but I know the way back. I still struggle with the lies of the world at times, but I have a hope that I didn't have before. What I was missing was there all along. I just never saw God's love and grace for what it was: unchangeable, unbreakable, unfathomable. Somewhere along the way, my interest in pornography also diminished. I finally threw away my last stash of DVDs one day after reading scripture. James 1:19-21. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. After I jumped in with both feet, my wife began to come around a little at a time. We joined a community group. I started going to Equip Disciple because I didn't even know what I didn't know. What's quiet time and do I need earplugs? We decided to give this new marriage class called Re-Engage a shot. 26 weeks? Are you kidding me? Okay, let's do it. You guys got it lucky because it used to be 26 weeks. So two other couples from our community group did Re-Engage with us.
And I remember Bobby wanting to go to that first Re-Engage class that Watermark was offering, and I just wasn't ready, you guys. My heart was hard, and I felt at times that I'd never softened towards him. I'm obviously glad we ended up doing it. Focusing on our marriage and focusing on Christ is truly the only way out of the deep funk that our marriage had gotten into. I'm so very thankful today for what the Lord has blessed me and my sweet family with. We have some dear, sweet friends who pour into us and love us and guide us. I no longer feel like I'm being punished for my abortion. I'm loved and I'm forgiven and I am the daughter of a king. I have a peace and a joy in the blessings that God has given us. I think about how our little family has grown and how awesome our two boys are. And I rejoice in the relationship that my husband and I now have with Jesus Christ. Bobby is my best friend, and there's no place I'd rather be. He's my rock, and I'm thrilled to follow his lead.
We have another picture.
It's a little old, but...
I still like to wear that costume sometimes.
Oh, Lord. That's kind of true.
She does, too. Anyway, we still have conflicts and even argue sometimes, but the difference is we are committed to Christ first and then to each other. Shari and I now serve as small group facilitators and reengage, not because we have a perfect marriage, because we don't, but because we know the pain a dysfunctional marriage can bring and feel drawn to do something about it. The fear and sadness can be crippling. If that's where you are now and wondering if this is for you, yes, it is. There is no better place that I'm aware of, and there is no better time than right now to get started. And if you have something scary you need to share with your spouse or small group, do it tonight. Dig deep and get after it. God is bigger than anything you might be facing. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Thank you for letting us share our story with you tonight.